Brian Had a Dream, 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
Hi, and welcome once again. I'm Ben.
And I'm Brian.
And you are listening to The Quest for 10,000, our audio journey with Brian as he tries to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. Thank you so much for listening, downloading, and sharing this podcast with a friend. In this episode, we do a preview review of Justice League, the latest superhero blockbuster. And maybe we use
blockbuster is a generous term, but
it is a generous term. Perhaps so far, the newest movie offering from DC. And we'll share our thoughts going in and our thoughts coming out with that movie, as we often do for movies we think are pretty significant to us. So, Brian, let's jump right in to the conversation. First, by asking, what do you think Justice League will be for you in terms of the number of movies you've seen? What number will Justice League come in at?
Justice League will come at in at 8,508.
Are you expecting your 8,508 movie to be one you remember with great delight? That you wonder, why did I see this again?
No, I mean, that won't be a question of why I saw it, but it would... I suspect it will just be forgettable.
That's my big fear with this, too. With most of these we do, I try not to read too many advanced reviews, that sort of thing. But I got to admit, on this one, the reviews have gotten to me. We're recording this on Sunday night after Justice League's opening weekend. We're going to go see it tomorrow night, Monday. And so far, the reviews have been unkind, and in fact, one report has said that it's probably not going to break $100 million domestically.
On opening weekend.
Yeah, on its opening weekend.
It'll probably clear $200 total domestically, but it will not. The first opening weekend is not going to be. They were hoping for like $110, $120. They're going to be lucky to get like $85.
Which is much less than Batman v Superman, I believe, and a good bit less than Wonder Woman. So, most of my takeaways from the DC movies, the recent iterations of this shared universe they tried to create, is that I tend to be fairly generous to the movies coming right out of them. I think maybe there's enough little cool moments, even if the film itself is incoherent. I remember thinking Suicide Squad, not great, but maybe not as bad as reviews. And upon further reflection for a lot of these films, I'm like, no, those are pretty much not good.
Yeah.
I said the same thing about Batman v Superman, but I have no desire to see that movie again, Suicide Squad again. I'd like to watch Wonder Woman again. I haven't watched
I would watch Batman or Superman before I'd watch Suicide Squad.
Well, sure. Yeah, no, that's a given at this point. Wonder Woman is the exception to that rule, and it greatly disappoints me that for whatever reason they weren't able to cap. It doesn't seem yet, at least going in, my assumption is that they're not going to capitalize that very well. It's also my disappointment, though, because I will admit the trailers that have been put together for this movie, I think, were some of the better previews of these DCU movies.
It seems all the DC movies seem like the color palette is just so much darker than what Marvel uses, so much more like gray and just in shadows and that's fine. I mean, I don't really have a problem with it, but it just feels real depressing.
Sure. And that's why I thought, you know, the trailers to me were still with that dark palette, perhaps, but kind of, you know, there's a little bit more rapport. There seemed to be some humor that was a little more authentic, you know, which is one of the other criticisms a lot of these movies, you know, not only dark in visuals, but dark in tone. Nobody's having fun. It seemed like things were a little more balanced, and some of the sneak peeks we got of the film. And so it's disappointing to me to hear that it's clunkier in that way again. I'm wondering what your expectation is, given that there were really two directors of this film, Whedon and Zack Snyder. Are you expecting that you'll be able to pick out really easily whose scenes or whose?
Well, the things I have read seem to indicate that there was a substantial amount that was reworked. That the suits at Warner Brothers took advantage of Snyder's absence to sort of redo and demand to be redone quite a bit more than what you might have been led to believe. You know, we were led to believe that Joss was just going to come in and finish it up for him and take it to the house. But it seemed that they were really trying to, in a subtle way, in their own way, maybe kind of do a mini version of what Star Wars did with Opie taking over the Han Solo movie. But they were trying to do it in a way where it didn't quite look that bad, you know, and so that all the parties could kind of save face. But I've heard that it's just tonally uneven, and you know, one of the problems, sadly, is I don't think that the DC Universe knew or knows how to incorporate Wonder Woman effectively. You know, I saw several people were angry because in this movie, when apparently they fight all over the world, but in this movie, they go back to Wonder Woman's home world, and they had shot by shot comparisons to what the Amazonians were wearing in the Wonder Woman movie and the ones they're wearing now. And it's clear that the message was out, make them sexier. And that was the whole point of Wonder Woman, was to not do the very thing you're trying to do.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if when Snyder, tragically, not able to finish the movie. I mean,
it was a tragic situation.
Situation with the death of his daughter. It does make you wonder, why didn't they go to Patty Jenkins?
Well, I know why they went to Joss Whedon, because I think Joss, you know, he had a track record with a big movie, Justice, the Avengers, and they wanted that headline, I think, of the Avengers guy brings justice. They wanted to bring that goodwill. And so he's already done a team up before with multiple moving parts. Let's see if he can do it again. And unfortunately for them, you know, especially in this climate, almost immediately after getting hired to do this, or right around that time, stories of Joss Whedon started bubbling up to the surface about problems he has had with.
Well, and I think the script of like his Wonder Woman leaked and was really problematic.
It made it like he thought of the character as being, he thought of a potential Wonder Woman movie as just being one long wet dream of his. I mean, that's what it read, right? Yeah. And you know, and then you hear that he's another person who's using feminism as a cover for being a horrible misogynist. And it's just, you know, it just feels, and not that meant that couldn't have been a good movie, but that coupled with the fact that Ben Affleck is clearly miserable as Batman. I mean, he does not want to be Batman.
Which, again, is sort of surprising from the trailers, because in the trailers, it looks like he's having a little bit of fun. So, yeah, it seems like just a whole lot of factors conspiring against this film.
When you have a guy who's starring as Batman giving interviews where he is more or less saying,
I'm done playing Batman.
That's not a good sign for your movie that should. Not a good sign. A, he's only done one so far. This is number two. And after two, he's ready to, like, hit the road? That's a bad, bad look.
Yeah, so I think it's fair to say we are expecting overall a cluster of possibly epic proportions.
Let me say this, too. The average person that's never seen a Justice League movie, doesn't read the comic books, who the heck is Cyborg? Like, they have no idea who Cyborg is, right?
Well, I think that's the other thing. It'll be pretty exposition-y.
They kind of know who Flash is, but they're all going to be disappointed it's not the Flash from the TV series. And then Aquaman, like, he's been a joke for 30 years, and you're just going to throw him into a movie and expect us to be okay with it? I mean, really, Aquaman has been a punchline more often than not, right?
I'm actually – in some ways, yeah. I'm going to go kind of move us though into some other things. We've obviously have some negative thoughts going in, some negative assumptions going in. But I do want to move into, I want to hold out hope. I think, on one hand, I think you're right. I think the character of Cyborg has very little chance of connecting in a meaningful way with the audience. However, I think Aquaman and The Flash, my expectation is that one of those will give a performance that stands out in a positive way.
Oh, I think so. I think
where they build a little bit more credibility for, I'm not going to say for both of them, because I just think that's hard to do in an ensemble movie, especially given the things working against it. But I think one of those two, you're probably going to come out of it saying, you know, I could get my head around.
They get the best lines, I think. Everything just says that they get the moments of levity and you really like them, and that they are the much needed comic relief.
And hopefully authentic in that way too, where it doesn't just seem like completely out of place. But I think to me, where the movie lives or completely falls apart on is the way they bring Superman back. That's a piece of the movie I might be willing to forgive all the other missteps if that is done competently.
I don't know how many.
Reasonably well.
You said you've avoided spoilers. This is not a spoiler, but I don't know if you've seen this part or not. Another funny thing that this movie has difficulty overcoming is Henry Cavill is going to be in a Mission Impossible movie. And he was filming. He'd already started filming this movie when they decided to do some reshoots and called Joss Whedon in. Well, for his Mission Impossible movie, he had contractually grown a mustache, and the Paramount and the producers refused to allow him to shave the mustache. So he has apparently filmed quite a number of scenes for this movie with a mustache that they digitally erased.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently quite a few reviewers said it is very distracting, and they asked themselves repeatedly, what the hell is wrong with his lip? Like, that was like all they could see, like his lip. So I'm really curious to see how poorly or well that is done, because that's a big, I mean, if it's real poorly done, man, that is a, I mean, that's a big embarrassment for the studio, right?
It is. The other thing that I am anticipating is that they will set up a sequel doing this. I think they've invested far too much.
Yeah.
I think they do a Justice League 2, because I don't think we're getting Darkseid. I think they have to do it where you get Darkseid. And I think this could potentially, you talked about it being a forgettable movie. I think it may have the potential of being something like Batman Begins that was, you know, contextually, when it came out, it was the first take on Batman after horrendous, you know, George Clooney nipple Batman suit. And because it didn't have, there was no reference point, it did reasonably well with critics and box office and all that sort of thing. But to me, if you really look at Batman Begins, not a fantastic movie. The Dark Knight, obviously, a much superior film.
No one's like.
And so I kind of feel like, you know, one of the things that Justice League and these other movies still have going against it is the Nolan-verse stuff. Like, they're going to suffer in comparison to that stuff anyways. But my sense is this movie is going to have the potential to lay groundwork for something better to come along.
I hope so. I hope you're correct.
We've set a very low bar. I think if expectations go in. So listeners, don't be surprised that when we come back, if we sound a little bit more positive, because we set a low bar. So they may be able to clear that low bar or come just to it. So in the very first minute, you know, after we see this movie and we do the review part, we might have a bit more positive things to say. That, again, this has been my pattern at least, come back and say, no, it wasn't very good. I don't know what I was thinking. Then let's go get some snacks, and we'll come back with our review thoughts.
Okay.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
All right, and we are now back
from seeing Justice League.
I liked it. I didn't love it. It was... it exceeded the bar. I tell you what, though. 15 minutes in, I thought the bar was too high.
About 45 seconds in, I thought, what? Oh, I mean, I did. I turned
That's
to you.
A
I
weird,
said, WTF.
Weird opening.
Let's say this. Spoilers abound in our discussion over the next few minutes. Spoilers abound. With the first scene, some home video thing of Superman that just was weird
felt clunky, unnatural, and so that
takes us to my first thing with the movie is, you know, we sort of predicted, you could see where there were two directors and two visions.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like for sure that was Joss Whedon coming in and saying Superman needs to be more hopeful,
and I also feel like that was probably saying, hey, we don't have Superman in the movie until like an hour and 15 minutes in, we gotta correct that. So I feel like that, and I see the reason behind it, because otherwise you do go two-thirds of the movie without arguably your biggest or second biggest, maybe third big, but one of your top three, and you know, you would like to see him, and to be honest, that was one of the parts that I felt like was weakest, is the way they integrated Superman. It felt like they built up, and they're like, oh wait, we can bring him. Although I will give them credit for this, the way they brought him back felt natural and organic and much better than how it was handled in the comic books when he died and came back. So I like that. I like that it had a purpose to it. But it just, like, he came back, he went off, had his own little mini movie of reunion with Lois and Mom, and then he's back to, like, just because he can kill the guy one-on-one.
Yeah, the weakest parts, we'll go there, that first moment kind of a, what the heck is going on, and there was just sort of, even with some cool moments in the final battle scene with Steppenwolf, it kind of felt anticlimactic with him. I think part of that also is another one of the weaknesses, this has been covered in any online reviews at least, the villain itself as a character was weak, and just not very good, in terms of being a real 3D character. It was a lot of setup, a lot of exposition, was just not a great amount of overall payoff to me in the plot, even though there were some really cool moments.
It's understandable why that this villain, the previous time he was here, millennia ago, they sort of said, they more or less said, he's the reason why, or that fight is the reason why the Amazonians went off on their own and the Atlanteans went underwater and went on their own. But if that's the reason why the Amazonians were by them, that should have kind of maybe been alluded to in the first Wonder Woman movie, because it just made, it just felt like that was like a big, like, oh, this is the real reason. So I get why, but it's just it just kind of shoehorned in there.
Yeah, and it shows, I think, again, the weakness of having late rewrites, late reshoots. Again, just an inherently disjointed experience. A lot of things that were just stuff, just you're sort of in media res, but not because that's a storytelling device they're using. More, it seems like that's the way the film was edited and put together to make it even seem cohesive. But then there were just some pieces of dialogue, some set pieces, some transitions that were just clunky at best.
Yeah.
And clunkier than it should have been, and what was a pretty much straightforward plot of big bad coming, we're going to recruit people, we're going to tell you about the ones you haven't met yet, and then we're going to have a big fight. And then we're going to have weird flowers come up out of the ground at the end. That was
bizarre.
That was so... Maybe. There's just some hokey, clunky
parts. I
almost
felt like you should hear, I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Right.
I mean, this felt real... But I will say that the Easter eggs, like they... And in the dialogue, too, this is one of the things that this movie, more so than maybe the Marvel movies, went for. The Marvel movies mostly show restraint and then a couple of, like, swings, okay? Every chance they got, they swung for the fences. Like, every single time. And when they missed, it was a big strikeout. But when they hit, it landed. But they were, like, every single, like, interplay and whatever, they were always going for broke. Like, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just going as hard as I can. And which, you know, there was just no restraint at all, no subtlety, like, we're going for it. And sometimes it worked, but sometimes it was really, really painful.
Yeah, I mean, just a couple of more, I think, examples of that. For one thing, so after this weird Superman thing, the next little set piece is Batman cashing a crook and then getting a parademon, and it's never clear, was this guy actually a crook? Was he just bait for the parademon? Like, what?
I guess what they were going for is, like, those things feed on fear to come. So he was trying to get the guy afraid so the guy would breed on that guy's fear. But it's like, then he just said, okay, you can go back to robbing the bank.
And the guy, like, hopped over, like, tied up. It was strange. And almost as strange as the fact that, like, everybody knows who everybody is.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then I love the, you know, as Superman comes back, everybody's calling him Clark, and he's flying around, and, like, he's going to come back as Clark Kent, maybe, at the Daily Planet. But, like, his grave has been dug up, and suddenly... So there's just a lot of things that were left unexplained.
Yeah.
That just the more you think about it, it's going to be like, well, lot of big plot holes.
I understand how he needed Lois to ground him and bring him back, and that's fine. I get that. I didn't really appreciate them calling her the Big Gun. Like, that felt a little lame.
Yeah,
and
that
weird.
That was, like, weird. Yeah. Too,
like, there had to have been a better code word. Than
yeah,
that.
When Batman bringing Superman back, he's going to need someone.
When she comes back, she gets escorted in a cop car. And she comes out and she's like, Clark, and all the cops around her are like, oh my goodness, it's Clark. And, like, that is so way to blow his cover. Now he can't be with you, Lois.
Well, and the fact that, like, they dig up Cyborg and Flash dig up his grave. That was a bit bizarre and a little bit meta, like, tongue-in-cheek. They're talking about it as they do it. But, yeah, there's just, again, some of the logic and things.
Highlights. Flash was the highlight.
Yeah, we had said we thought Flash might be one of the breakout characters.
That guy was very good.
I thought he was great.
Other highlights, the Easter eggs, like, in the fight at the beginning, Green Lantern. The best Green Lantern movie of all time.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, the Shazam scene, which was interesting. There's one part, and I think it may or may not have been Shazam. It may have been the
character. I think it was the god of Zeus, but I think it was supposed to evoke.
But when that guy,
that too,
it looked like 300. I mean, it looked like it was definitely Zack Snyder. Like, almost, it looked like Gerard Butler's character from the 300. It was just eerie how similar they went for it.
So there were some, there were some scary storytelling devices. This movie had to be heavy on exposition, and I think it did that actually in a pretty natural way. Not always, but I thought they handled that fairly well. I kind of will take a different tone than what some of the reviewers have said. About Affleck's portrayal. Affleck was stiff, but I think that was as much
his costuming
as anything. I didn't sense that he was unengaged, in that sort of way. He was fine. Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman, again, I thought was the best part of everything.
She was
The little musical touches
from
Batman 1989 theme, the Superman theme.
Really good.
The other thing that I will... disagree with a little bit in terms of the negative reviews that I've seen. They talked about the CGI, and the CGI was noticeable.
I didn't notice his lip, to be honest with you.
But I didn't notice that. I didn't notice that with
Henry Cavill. I tried to notice it. I was looking for it, and I didn't notice it.
That Steppenwolf was completely CGI, that didn't bother me. Like, that never took me out of the experience. The one place where that did is there's one swooping scene of the Mascara that is completely CGI, like completely 3D rendered of Themyscira, where Wonder Woman's from. And it kind of does this great big sweeping monster. And it's like, that looks harp. That took me out of the movie.
And there was one or two scenes towards the end where they were fighting and they were like on the Batmobile. And it was like clearly they weren't on a real Batmobile. To me, that looked...
Yeah,
I agree. But Batman, in both Batman vs. Superman and this movie... the Batman character was not so much a character as a plot device. And that, you know, because really, he was just a way to, A, justify killing Superman, and then a way to justify bringing Superman back. There's very little going on with Batman as far as, and Bruce Wayne really is not a character in the movie. He's just an excuse to get Ben Affleck out of his suit.
So, yeah, I agree. So that may again be one of the weaker parts of the movie. My kind of final takeaways, just as we do this really briefly, I don't think this movie is going to be forgettable necessarily. No. I do think the thought I had ahead of time that it would be kind of like a Batman Begins to what could be a really good second movie, or a much better second movie. I kind of still am on that wavelength. Not the best thing ever, but I would say it's probably the second best DC movie. Again, not a high bar to cross, but got it. And I loved the scenes, the post-credit scenes. Those made me more excited to see more stories than the others. And I'm ready. I'm down for a Flash movie.
Not sold on Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. I kind of wish they had gone a different direction for the next movie. I don't know how that's going to work, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So, you know, our recommendation is thumbs slightly up, but the people who said this is a horrible movie, I can see why they said it's a horrible movie.
Yeah, but I think they came into it wanting it to be a horrible movie.
Well, yeah, but I won't argue with anybody who was just like, because there were several times that we did turn to each other in the theater and just went, oh, God.
Well, let's just say they had some laugh lines that they did not mean to be laugh lines.
That's exactly right. But there were enough little cool little moments, and there were some scenes, you know, of the heroes gathered, and when Superman does show up in the final battle, you know, there's enough to kind of give you a little taste.
And I think kids will like it more than adults will.
I think that's probably right. And I think, if anything, any reason for someone to be disappointed is it probably does feel like they could have done a whole lot more. And it almost sort of makes you mad because you could see more potential there than maybe they got to for the most part. But like we said to begin with, we were probably going to come right out of it and like it more than most. So we'll just have to wait and see if upon further reflection and time that holds true. So, thank you so much again for listening to this preview review of Justice League on the Quest for 10,000. We'll come to you again with another episode in a few weeks. But until then, we hope your week is a 10.
10 plus.
Borderline 11.